Hi everyone and welcome to the Peter Maxwell Slattery Show. Today we're on location in Agnes Water, Queensland, and for a bit of a change today I'm going to be interviewing Pete. So welcome to your own show.
How you doing, bud?
Yeah, good. Loving being up here and visiting friends and
just good.
Having time at the beach.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm loving it. When I did 10 days Vipassana meditation style lately.
So you've only been back a few days since then?
Yeah, it took a while to get back in the body.
So no talking for 10 days?
No talking for 10 days. Basically, two meals. Oh, there's three meals. Like at dinner, you'd get two, you know, pieces of fruit. No exercise.
11 hours, is it?
It worked out around 11 hours a day. You could do more. I did. Like, you could do a lot less as well, but it worked out around 11 hours, I think, a day meditating. And got to work, like, a lot of the time, I didn't know the technique, but I was sort of getting far ahead from where I was supposed to be. So I worked on other techniques and things. It was basically self-mastery time. I saw it as 101 in terms
of... And you get reflective type stuff too. You get to look at different things in your life. And you were saying it's about, like, learning to not react to different things and that.
Yeah, it was more... I would say self-mastery and I would say psychological surgery, I think they call it as well. So you get to go deep. Like, even though I help people and do a lot of things, a lot of people like us don't get time to help ourselves and have that break.
Yeah.
And I got to go deep and basically just get back up to speed to where I should be in terms of where you get a bit drained or a bit overwhelmed with things. And also with the emotional things, you know, now having kids and a partner and living in the city, different from what I'm used to.
Yeah.
Everything's quite a build-up and it's just, you know, basically coming across things like, you know, absorb, recognise what you're seeing but don't react and just know that it will soon pass sort of thing with that sort of thing.
And can you maybe talk a little bit about how that affected... you know, different beings that you see and energies, but also maybe some of the craft and things like that?
Not too much. I'd say I had five full-on out-of-body experiences meditating there those days.
Can you also talk about the vibrating, levitating thing too?
So a lot with Vipassana is about, and I'll see if we can get Giles on the show while we're here, because we're up at Giles' place, which I sort of consider this the 000 East SETI Australia location. He's good mates with James as well, and... those who know me well, we've seen other shows, this is where we're at the moment, where I used to live before meeting Sol. But with those types of, with the technique of a Vipassana, it's very subtle for like, I think, 2 or 3 days, you'll be just, all you're doing is breathing in and out of the nose. And then, you know, a lot of people are like, what the hell is going on here? And I started to feel energy, vibration and sensation, which... You know, going a couple of days into it, they're like, oh, you're noticing any sensations or even itchiness. It was anything, but I was saying I was sort of like feeling an electromagnetic field around it because I'm insensitive to this, but what happens is when you focus on that one area, your mind gets so sharp that I could come down to a molecular or even an atom or subatomic level where there was one day I was there and I was seeing all these golden... atoms or some I didn't know what they were, but it was like, this is what things are made up. And I've told people about how I've seen holographic soccer balls with a purple hue that make up everything. It was like that, but these things were golden and they were constantly changing. And it was basically what Buddha was saying the next day. It was basically, I was a day ahead of all the teachings.
Yeah.
And I was getting these in the meditations. But from the breathing in the nose, they'll get you to focus on one area. So a lot of people have the triangle area.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, he goes... If you're this far ahead, can you pinpoint it down? And I did it in front of him and I could pinpoint it down. So you start to feel sensation, electromagnetic field there, and then it starts to vibrate. And then over that, they'll get you to work on the next couple of days, different areas of vibration. But I was able to sweep from the head to the feet like that.
Yeah.
And even now...
you're used to doing similar techniques with some of the work that you do.
Yeah.
So maybe...
Well, you were holding me the other night and I was vibrating.
Yeah.
Like you're vibrating in and out.
Just that vibration you were vibrating at, so naturally I just start to vibrate at what you were vibrating at too.
But you're vibrating.
It's like you oscillate.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah. But you can feel it. It's almost like existing within your body, but you're out of the body and you're existing as all atoms at once.
Yeah.
That's sort of the feeling that I felt. It's like buzzing balls of light.
Yeah.
So can we talk maybe a little bit, because I really wanted to interview you today for your own show, because you help so many other healers, channels, you know, UFO people, ghost hunters, everyone sort of get their word out on what they do. But I find a lot of the time you don't get a chance to sort of talk about what you do. And I thought everyone would be so interested to hear what it is that you actually do, how you came to, you know, be involved in all of this and your journey. Is there somewhere that you'd like to start with all of that?
Well, a lot of people can go and see the first, oh, I guess, 3 or 4 documentaries. I don't even know how many documentaries I've done now, but you can see that at the website. That sort of gives us a brief overview. Like, I had experiences when I was young with these whitish, ashy-coloured greys, and there was stuff going on. I had a big sighting when I was 12, and then again around 2004, I think it was, when I started having high strangeness stuff going on as well. But things really picked up in 2010, and what I'm noticing is with a lot of the younger experiences, like I was speaking to a lady with Giles the other day, younger than myself, and I'm 31, and I've spoken to kids, you know, that I guess that kid would probably be 9 or 10 now, that are so far ahead of where people would say even I'm at. Like, I look at where I'm at, and people older than myself are coming to me, but then I'm talking to the young ones, and I'm talking really young, and they're far ahead, so... Yeah.
Well, you see, even with Phoenix. My youngest as well.
Yeah.
Just the sort of things that he talks about.
Yeah. So, I find since 2010, when the sightings picked up, I was on the news, I was sort of wondering what the hell it was I was seeing, and I started investigating this stuff and started getting footage with witnesses, and then the high strangeness really picked up, and in time I interacted with Shiji, who's a being from the Star Morope and the Pleiades, who's a gatekeeper of that star, works in sync with Metatron, and a lot of these... higher evolved beings that are in service mode. They're universal beings. Anyone can sort of get in contact or interact with them. But I even dismiss now a lot of this Ascended Master and New Agey stuff, and I don't like a lot of New Agey stuff because there's a lot of spin and crap to it. But what happened was exponentially, I went on a route where I don't even know what it is that I do. Somehow I started doing shows. It was funny because I had this voice keep on coming to me, and then I talked to Anya Briggs, who I've had on the show, and it was like, Pete, they're saying you've got to do something like this, and it was like, well, you know, confirmation. So I started doing the shows, but why I started thinking about the shows was, even for myself, I got shunned from the UFO community for going where they don't want to go. They want to stay with the nuts and bolts, and even with the smoking gun evidence, it's not good enough, nothing's good enough.
And well, they're looking at more the craft and, you know, as you say, the nuts and bolts, rather than the experiences that they bring, which there's so much to learn from those experiences.
Well, it's the multi... Yeah, it is.
It's missing a key element to it.
Yeah, and we're multidimensional beings having multidimensional experience. Like here, me and Joel, the amount of crafts I've seen, we had something physically manifest the other night that was a structure with two lights come in as soon as we got back from the mind of Vipassana and then phase out. But the beings, the wispy stuff... Here, I've seen more here than I have anywhere, like just the last few days. And it was funny because you were talking about sort of two worlds phasing in and out on one of your posts, well, and Susie Kornacki got to me in about that.
This was why you were away meditating.
So,
is kind of like a fragmented reality breakdown. It's like two different dimensions or two different realities existing within the same space and sort of starting to phase in and out. So the effect that you get is kind of like a deja vu.
So, I don't know, just in time, everything's shotgun to where, like, I tested the beings, and I tell people to test the beings, because I guess what it is that I'm doing now, the main thing is their guide sessions.
Yeah.
So I'll connect beings.
Also, can you just talk about, like, what you've got a background in counselling and things as well?
Yeah, so I've got a background in counselling, a diploma in counselling. I've got meditation teaching certificates in various types of techniques. I'm a Reiki master. Look, even with a lot of these certificates and things, people say them, and I don't go on about them often. Like, I'm even a minister and things like that. So it's funny when I talk to James Gilliland, because me and James have got so many similar things. But James started his ranch basically at the age I'm at now, and started doing what he was doing when I was born, which was great hanging out
with
him.
Which is funny, because you've started at East Eddie Australia in the same year.
Yeah, I guess it was the same age that he was. So, but why I don't go on much is, like, you know, I've talked to Mary Rodwell, and a lot of what people do, I ask them how they do it, and they don't know how they do it, and that's where I feel they're doing it right. Because even though I do Reiki, the way when I do healing energies or I manipulate energy bands or do clearings is totally different from a Reiki format. So, in saying that, you know, you just go with your gut and within, because what's happening is we're told that unless it's unless it's backed by other people, this and that, it's not so. And, you know, the foremost, and the people that I've come across that do healing techniques or psychic work that aren't, you know, backed by anyone or classified as this or that with documents, they kick ass at what they do. And, you know, it's like a shame that, you know, people want them to have this or that certification for whatever. Not to say that you don't, you know, some people shouldn't or shouldn't have that, you know, what may be the case, but that's why I haven't gone on about it myself. So I do have a lot of, you know, certificates in different areas. I've hanged out with a lot of people like James and others that do different various forms and techniques of, you know, many, so what I would call self-mastery practices, which is where all this is leading back now, and that's why I do the guide sessions, is getting people to work themselves rather than look to these beings as gods, realise that everything's a facet of the same consciousness and start to get their own information. And there's going to be trial and errors, but from there they can be their man, you know, they can be their person.
So, I've had a guide session with you going back probably a year ago now. And so what I found interesting was, you know, from doing meditations and other things where you experience different beings, you really bring them in where you feel them in a three-dimensional capacity. Do you want to talk a little bit about what a guide session involves and sort of the structure of it? What people learn?
Yeah, so usually what I'll do is try to find out where people are at. Now, I hate the word psychic, but what I do is if I can get as much information in terms of people to tell me where they're at, a little bit of what they've experienced. I don't need to know everything, but I can sort of see where they're at, because it's like, you know, when we do clearings, some people will say, you know, there's nine beings about, but they really mean 9,000 or 90,000. And if you tell the truth, the people are going to go running out the door saying that you're full of shit or they can't comprehend it. So why I do that is to gauge where the people are at, because there's no right or wrong place where you're at, but if you go too far ahead, like, you know, with a lot of this stuff, you're just going to do people's heads in. So I gauge where they're at, and the main format is I try to get them connected with the guides through various different methods, which I'll be guided on. So I'll connect with my guides to connect with their guides, which is working with them, to go, you know, how are we going to get a format going here? Sometimes there might be cards into it, and as you know, sometimes you just need to get people to drop their everything, because there's that psychic barrier and you really need people to let go when doing this, or else there's no use of them coming to you.
Well, it's a lot about confirmation too for the clients. Like, I've met quite a few of your clients. I've had the same clients, and a lot of them say, you know, it's really good confirmation that they're on the right path, on the, you know, that they're not crazy as well. And I find that that's what's really good about talking to you, is that you are an experiencer firsthand, and you've had various different types of experiences. And you're very open-minded for new things that are coming to you and being presented. You know, you don't close the door on anything.
Well, I don't know at all. Like, I do know a lot. And what I know is still isn't 0.0001 out of a billion percent. It's nothing compared. It doesn't put a picture together. I've still got many answers, many questions, looking for answers. And what even gets me is with a lot of the higher evolved beings, they have been showing me that they don't know it all either. And I've spoken to Dolls about this, and even James and others, where that to me rings truth. Like, they still don't know what's going on. Even the other universes with their own planes and dimensions, I've seen a lot of this, and everything's still up in arms is sort of, you know, what's exactly going on. Now, I do know that we do leave source to go and experience life and gain knowledge in as many forms as well and ways as possible, which is why we're all having a different experience. But, you know, why is it that we're not getting, you know, the contact that people want on a mass scale? And I think a lot of this, I don't think the government knows everything that's going on. I think they're shitting themselves. I think people can't handle it. Like, even here, if people saw half of what you and me and Giles and Britain that see here, they would go to a mental ward. Because there's so much stuff going on. Like, we're not just talking one or two things a day. Like, you know, there's times where you'll be walking around and the whole place is just full of beings, and the veils between worlds are thin. So, in saying that, what this is doing when I do the guide sessions is I can't pull my weight unless everyone that I'm connected with pulls their weight. Now, everyone's got a different part in what's going on. Like I wrote in my book, Operation Starseed, everyone's got a different part in an operation going on here, and it's to help humanity. But at the same time, with that being said, people all have their own techniques and tools. So with the guide sessions is, I connect them to their guides. Now, the ultimate goal is to connect them with their own God self. And I'll give them techniques, and there's heaps of stuff on my website with meditations to do that. Because if you can connect with your cell of source, you can backtrack and work with the other facets of you, and then work, you know, manifest whatever you've got to do in this physical body, computer, and human experience. But it's not that easy, because people have to get used to different energies. So when I do the guide sessions, I'll bring in the energies. Some people work more energetically than the third eye, and some people work more with the third eye than the energy. So I try to get a little bit of both happening. So when you sort of get the goosebumps, intense feeling, that's your energy bands interacting with the energy bands of one of your guides. Now, the funny thing that I've come to realise over time is that a lot of these beings are other facets of us.
Mm.
Not all. So you'll have friends that will recognise soul signatures from many planes and dimensions, and they'll be popping in and out working with you as well, and some of the sightings or whatever might be that. And then, you know, a lot of what's we're interacting with is actually us on another level somewhere else. And then all that's being, you know, coming from the golden plane of bliss, like James calls it. But then you've got the rainbow light spectrums underneath it. When you combine all that together, that's where you get the golden plane, which I believe we've all got a facet of us in the angelic realm coming down to here and at source itself. So that's what I try to do. And from there, you get a dialogue and information coming out. And everyone's got their own sort of information with all that. So that's sort of just a rough sort of thing. You know, if I need to do clearings or get rid of blockages or anything like that, or anything comes through, energy work, I'll do it. But it's sort of what needs to be done.
The other thing that I find, you know, because you do get so many emails a day and lots of messages on Facebook, things like that, people asking you questions, you can only answer it to a very short extent. Whereas I do find, and I get the same as well, when you do have people book in and have a proper one-on-one face-to-face session, whether it's in person or over Skype, it really allows everything to come up.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might need to book, you know, a double session depending on how much is there. And some of your sessions, a lot of the time, are kind of counselling through it, or people needing to have that that open dialogue, you know, for someone to hear and someone for confirmation. So each thing, each...
We'll spin you around. Sorry, keep going. Just so the sun's on you a bit more. You're beautiful.
So each session that you do is really tailored, isn't it?
It is really tailored. I'll just move this a little bit because the sun's just moving with us.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Just in how it really is personalised?
Well, it is, and that's why I answer, I'd say, 98% of the emails I get. And, yeah, there might be 2-3 lines. And, look, with the guide sessions, I always get back to people after the session because I know there's always stuff that they wish they had asked and it doesn't get done. So I do that as well, but it is personalised. And for us to go to group contact, we first need to start working on ourselves and what we need to do individually. So this is where, you know, a lot of people will send me questions or whatever on Facebook, and it's like, look, I can't just sit here and tell you this and that. And people don't understand the timeline scenarios as well. But what I do is if I can answer something or shed light on something, I'll do that, and more than happy, you know, to do it. But there's so many times you see I have to do a 1 or 2 line answer because I'll have a clients that day like you.
They do get, because sometimes you find that when you answer questions in person, it will evolve. It will help to move up to like another energetic level.
Well, you've got the time.
And you'll get more information. Not only that, you're picking up, you know, live action reading. Because, you know, like with aura drawings, things like that, as soon as you start to talk about something, the aura will change. And that's the same with the energy field. So if you're answering a question that's, you know, email, you're kind of giving a snapshot of what that energy was like at the time. But if you're interacting live, there's a lot more going on energetically.
Oh, there is. And that's not to put people down that do the readings how they'll like do it by email or whatever.
No.
When you do it that way, you can get, you know, an up-to-date thing. And this is where even the next day or through thoughts, because thoughts and imagination are creation in reality, that can change automatically even what you've started out in terms of a session, you know, with something maybe coming into being. That can change. And that's not to say, oh, you know, psychics will all say that. If you understand the nature of reality and consciousness like that, and we might be able to play with it, but we're still getting it. These are things that can be done, you know. So the one-on-one sessions are great like that.
How long do they go for?
Well, they go for about an hour. Sometimes, you know, a lot of time I go 5 or 10 minutes over because, you know, you're just trying to ram everything. And I know people have got a lot of questions. A lot of people just want to share stuff. They know that I don't have the answers well, but I might maybe be able to give them techniques and tools that
sometimes you're connecting them with other people too.
Yeah, well, that's...
Others that have had similar experiences or...
And that's what's been great about the shows is people sharing it, and then, you know, they've been able to find, you know, so many people on the show are just being inundated, like yourself and there's Simon Parks and others that get a lot of work from it, because it's like whoever is best, and that's what we've done with AUC Australia, is it's whoever's best for the job for whatever.
Yeah.
It's not just...
It's not a one-fit-all solution, is it?
And even if people went to James's Ranch, who we're good friends with, like, it's similar there. It's not just James there. There's a team. It's a network team. Because there's a lot of people waking up now, and it's you know, it's about them going back and doing something in their area or taking up something themselves and finding out what they're here for, their purpose as well. So this is where it's, you know, a mixed bag with everything.
Where do you see it heading for the future?
Well,
do you see, like, a change in the sorts of clients that you're getting or the sort of information? Because I find sometimes with my work that there'll be different themes that'll come up.
Yeah.
Or there'll be a different group of beings that will be working with a certain amount of people at a certain particular time.
Well, I've noticed this year, the last, probably since a quarter of the way into the year, there's been a hell of a lot of Arcturian souls. Like, even myself, I'm a facet of so much different things that... You know, it's not like you've got one past life. Like, if you're a Pleiadian, you know, soul signature, part of you is, that's in the future, so that's not now. So this is where there's, you know, everything's happening at the same time, all these lives. So really, past and future lives are happening at the same time. But I noticed that this year especially, there's been, like, a huge awakening of Arcturians.
Yeah.
And they seem to be, they are human types, but the ones I've seen are more like, a greeny blue aqua colour with these elongated heads with the black eyes. They're really giddy and funny beings. Nothing negative about it, but I've seen, like, a huge awakening of these guys coming through. I've seen more people come into, like, seeing what I've been seeing, which is the light spectrum realms and beings from that, and the geometry as well. So I'm seeing that, and what I get is these are the higher levels of consciousness coming through now for us to access, for those that are ready to access it. And this is where it's not like, you know, here we're going to ascend to 14, 5D, and look, I'm sorry, people, but it's just not like that. I keep on hearing this over and over, and what this is for you to be able to do that, you've got to be able to deal with your self-mastery here. And I get a lot of time to work and see people in these fields, and a lot of people can't even handle their shit. They just can't. And I lose it every now and then. But what I'm saying is, for you to be able to go to these realms and have access, you've already got access in here and in here. But you think that you're going to have access to certain levels when you can't even deal with the self-mastery of the human body computer here at this time. So do you think that's going to be allowed to affect other realms? Like the Book of Shiji that Shiji wrote through me, there are certain realms from the light realms and geometric realms into other universes that you cannot access without a higher level of consciousness. And the higher level, there's two ways it can be done. And that's physically with a higher level of consciousness through gates near Sirius, the Pleiades and Orion.
Yeah.
But you need technology for that. And then there's also... You can bypass that through consciousness and go straight there. But how do you get there? You've got to have that level of consciousness, which I think the Keys of Enoch, with a lot of it, was writing through what I understand now, finishing it, is that a lot of this is about your level of consciousness. Like, you can't solve the same problem, you know, with the level of consciousness that they created. Yeah. Like Einstein says. So this is where, look, all fantastic for love and light, this and that, but right now we've got to deal with our own self-mastery, and that comes on many levels. It comes with dealing with our physical sensations and things that we want, and looking at things the way they are, and changing what we can, accepting the things that we can't change, and actually just letting that see it for what it is. And at the end of the day, as long as you've got, you know, your food, shelter and clothing and loved ones around, who really cares? You know, we're trying to do the best that we can, but...
So another question that I wanted to ask you too is, you know, I've got the saying come to mind, the body is a temple, and also let thy food be thy medicine.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been a journey you've been on the last few months as well. Can you talk a little bit about your transition into a vegan diet?
Yes.
And also into a pretty high raw diet too.
Yeah, so...
And the effects that that's had on a spiritual level, physical, emotional.
Yeah, so I was... When I got with Soul, Soul was basically like... You were already like basically...
100% raw.
Like that.
Raw vegan.
And I've always, over the last, even when I was a rapper, I would, like, you know, I'm not going to hide it. People know from a rap music, I would get up, smoke dope, and go and get smoothies. You know, I was into smoothies, you know, I'd eat like a couple of proper meals a day, but I was living off smoothies.
Yeah.
But they did have a lot of dairy in it and muesli and that
and
sort
sugar.
Of thing. And
yeah.
sugar. And I'd pump weights and work out and that sort of thing. And then I met you, and I've always wanted to be just completely off the meat. You know, I didn't eat meat much or any of that sort of thing.
What was it in particular that you didn't like about meat?
There's just... being in tune with other facets of myself, there's always this part of me that's just like, this shit ain't right.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's
yeah.
like when I was smoking cigarettes, I've been off cigarettes.
I love how real you put it.
Mm. Well, I've been off cigarettes and alcohol, like I've probably had, what I had, one sip of wine in America, one sip. I had probably two light beers, or three light years, beers a year before.
Since I've known you.
Like, I can't even handle half a light beer, so...
Which tends to be common with people that do this sort of work, you know, we can't handle alcohol
yeah.
or... I'm not saying everybody, but,
yeah.
you know, a lot of it.
And we're not putting like, people down to still
food.
Drink or smoke or
yeah.
whatever, but...
We're just saying your personal...
Yeah,
experience.
So I've... Like, once I got off the dope, and I've basically tried everything except for heroin, I think, and I never used needles or anything, but I got, you know, I got off the dope and all that, and then the alcohol, and I've always wanted to eat well, but...
Yeah.
When I met you, I was still, you know, eating what I wanted. It wasn't too bad, you know, it was pretty good. And then...
It was pretty bad compared to what you eat now.
Compared to what I eat now,
yeah.
but not compared to the rest of humanity.
Oh,
on a Western diet.
It was standard
yeah.
diet.
So, you know, I think it was one day I was in Eastland, which is a shopping centre in Melbourne, and I just got sick off the thought. I actually went and got a meat feed, like a feed with meat in it, to go, all right, something's just told me that I'm absolutely fed up with
it. But it wasn't meat. It was like a combined manufactured souvlaki gyro type thing.
But I've got physically sick, and since then I get physically sick from being around barbecued chicken.
It's the smell.
Like, I just can't be around it. But it was just like, it was... Yeah, like animals and all that have got spirits and everything. Like, I've gone on about that before. And their spirits are like basically... We've all lived lives as not just, you know, human-type beings or humanoid beings. We've been plants, we've been animals and insects, so I get all that. But it was just like this shit ain't right. Like, and it gets me sick in here and here.
Yeah.
So it went cold turkey. I just, you know, like when I got off cigarettes, I got off cold turkey.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot. Like, I've smoked since I was 12 years
yeah.
old, and I gave up
but it does help.
2 years ago or whatever.
I guess it helps, you know, you having me to be able to make you healthy meals and...
Well, it
you
is
know,
like
have substitutes and things.
If
so
people see
I think
what
if
you
do, if you do the research and you find out it's not actually about cutting something out, it's about bringing more into the diet, because that's what you did that sort of transitioned you to getting to that point too. You brought more stuff into your diet.
Yeah.
You learnt more about good things that you like.
But
it might be just about, like we did vegetarian tacos.
Yeah.
So you just find a little switch or a substitute and you start doing more recipes like that.
Yeah. No, so, definitely. Like, if people see what you make, I'm lucky. I'm still eating like a king and having awesome stuff but you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then I'm not saying a vegan diet or everything's for everyone. I will not. People who preach that's a lot of the vegan stuff, it actually turns me off. I'm hating to use that name or anything. I want people to do their own thing, but you know, I've even seen vegans like with you that they look that unhealthy that they don't know what they're doing, and that's sad. And you know, especially when we went to America, what was sad was we could have, because Sol's gluten intolerant and I am now
celiac,
and I'm meant to be off dairy as well as gluten, so the dairy thing is not a problem. But in America, to find stuff without gluten in, that was really hard for starters. So we had to eat a lot of Mexican, and just to have that option without a lot of sugar, like in Australia, even our chocolate bars compared to America's.
Oh, the raw food bars?
Yeah, there was so much sugar added into them that it's not needed.
In Australia, we have raw food bars that have dates and nuts.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. In America, they had also cane sugar added to them.
Mm.
Some other ones had like corn syrup and...
But besides that, America was absolutely awesome. The people were awesome and everything.
Can you talk about what you've experienced on more an emotional level, since also not including that vibration, you know, to do with the heavier foods and the meats and things, and then also on a spiritual level
I think you just feel more stable, like energetically and emotionally.
Yeah.
Because, like the amount of coffees I can drink too, I've cut down on that. But even the other day, I had 6 coffees in one. Like, it's, and it doesn't even buzz me that much.
Yeah.
Where to you guys, you'd be off your nut, you know.
Yeah. That's just the pool pump.
That's just a pool pump going on. So what we'll do, we'll just move this quickly.
Okay.
We should. So we just had to move quickly. But the other thing too that going on a vegan diet has done for me is I think I'm seeing more stuff, I think, anyway. And you hear that from, I think, was it Mr. Avocado? What's his name?
David Wolf. And also David Wilcock
and all them were going on about that.
Is a lot of the reason, you know, why I feel drawn to it, apart from it just naturally feels good. You vibrate different. Do you notice that?
Well, I don't know. I'm always feeling this. I must say it's gotten intense lately.
Yeah.
Like way more intense. But I'm still trying to absorb a lot what's going on over the last few months. So I don't know. Like I notice an energy pick up with everything at the moment.
But energetic-wise, I find that things solidify. It's like they step into our vibration or more 3D.
Yeah.
Like visually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, you know, all this is a whole component. And this is where, like, going back into the 3D, 4D, 5D, bloody billion D, whatever dimension you want to go to. Look, a lot of this now is us dealing with what's going on here. So eating more sustainably and, you know, having better forms of energy, all that, and, you know, policies or whatever, you know, like, things have to change on every single level, and most of all, how we treat each other, and on top of that, how we treat ourselves. So, like, in saying that, we are, you know, I hope that we can fix ourselves enough in the terms where we can be accepted on a greater level into the universe and into the galaxy with other civilizations. This is all going on now on some level, but for it to be on a public level and everything else, you know, really things start with us helping ourselves and cleaning up our own neighbourhood, and most of all ourselves individually. And from ourselves individually, then we can start to work with like-minded people, because everyone's trying to project their own shit and fix what's outside of them. They're not working what's inside of them and projecting that, you know, outside of them, you know, with going within them and projecting that without. And that's not to say I'm no saint or anything else. I'm far from it. And for some reason, I'm connected and being used as a vehicle to get this information out along. And I think it's because I've lived a life as a rapper, and I've been around the bikers, and I've been around the gangsters, and I carry that energy through those places that I know so many of those types of people that have been affected. Where, you know, I've talked to bikers about UFO sightings, this and that, and it's like, for them to be able to talk to me about that sort of thing is big, because, you know, it shows that this passes all cultural and economic and, you know, personal boundaries, you know, backgrounds on people, that this stuff's going on right now affecting everyone. So, you know, between the food and now having you as a partner and having kids now in my life and living on the outside the city, doing the work that I do, having the experience, like, experiences are daily, as you know, and I'll see a lot of what Sol sees and she'll see a lot of what I see. And so then having East City Australia and everything else.
I was just going to say, can we look into East City Australia now? And just how, what you're doing, like what your role is with East City Australia?
Yeah, so basically I went out with James one morning when we, and look, when I went to go and see the Romaneks, and come over this way, Dollar, just a little bit. When we went over to see the Romaneks and James, I didn't, like I said to you, I don't even know why we're doing this. You know, I've got no idea. And I told him flat out, I don't even know why I'm here, you know, and But we
just felt really drawn.
We had to, you know, and it was basically the two people I wanted to see anyway, but it was just weird how it all worked out that I'm staying at the places.
We also connected with Jay City, the Japanese East
City as well,
group,
Greg Sullivan. And, you know, America was so great. The people, like, I, if I could, I would probably live there. I had that much of a ball. I love Australia too. It's just, you know, they've just got different things from each other, but they're just as good as each other. But, you know, out with James one morning, he's like, you should open up an East City Australia. I'm like, you for real? He's like, why not? And, you know, I've got all say and everything in that, but we've got Joel's a part of it, we've got you a part of it,
Dean.
And Dean, and we've got a few others, and it's not just about having one place in Australia like there is in America. And what, you can't replicate what James has got, so there's no way I'm going to even bother trying to do that, because it is what it is, and I do what I do, and you know, it's, again, it's whoever's best for the job, but, you know, we take people out on Skywatches. We do workshop, ET contact workshops.
Yeah.
We also do webinars. But I'm looking at...
And there's a few retreat-type things we've got
planned as well. So, basically, you know, with Sol and I, you've got the balance of the male and female energies incorporating, you know, what we do into this and helping people. But I'm trying to get a few places set up. Now, I see this is like the 000 E-City place, but this is more private, you know, for Australia. And I might maybe doing some stuff here in future to the public where, you know, people have to, of course, get an invite from ecityaustralia.org.
Yeah. Which you can also email us if you are interested in things like that too.
So we do a lot of what James does through eCity Australia. We do have a centre in Melbourne, which you'd have to contact us to even, you know, book or whatever, because we just can't have any Tom, Dick and Harry rocking up. But I'm looking at getting...
Also, we're quite busy, so we need to schedule it.
We need to schedule, But we're looking, like, James is just as busy as us, so it's like the same if you're going to James, is you have to get an invite and contact them first at eCity.org in America. But I'm looking at getting multiple places or venues or centres set up. And the aim is to have a centre or centres where everything from, you know, technology to health, food, medicine, all these different areas, along with self-mastery, that it's like a database and a place where all this knowledge is shared and worked on amongst those that are basically whoever's right for the job again. It's also to inform the public on the ET reality. There's a lot of stuff there, so if somebody's new to this, you could probably send them to ecityaustralia.org, and I've got video, like, I've put links to videos and everything up there so people can see, like, you know, government documents and what the the government videos and the National Press Club videos that are out there on. Also, you know, stuff on free energy and food and all that. sneeze. So, with the eCity Australia, the aim's to set up a centre where everything sort of comes together, and it's not like, as I said to James and I've said to you, the way I want this set up is so if I die or, you know, whatever, and, you know, we're talking down the track, this goes on and it's not owned by any one person. This is it keeps evolving and its own thing. And I'll be guided to how this goes, and, like, this is just as much yours as it is mine. I just seem to be the, you know, one just, you know, doing whatever with it, and, you know, everyone's busy as hell. But that's sort of just the idea of what's going on with the eCity Australia side of things.
So where can people contact you? How do they go about booking a guide session?
So they can go to...
Or even just a counselling session as well.
Yeah, so you probably just better off going to the guide sessions. Everything sort of comes into that anyway.
Because and you tailor it, don't you?
Yeah, I tailor it. So I'll tailor it to whatever the client wants and whatever I've got coming in. You know, I won't tell them what they need. They know themselves. A lot of the time I find with the clients, I'm just confirming what they already know, and which I had so much in the
past. And you do also confirm, like, they'll talk about what they see or information that they get, because you help guide them through that.
And that's sort of what I got taught off Mary Rodwell too. Like, it's sort of where all this started, was with Mary Rodwell too, with myself sort of walking my path and getting confirmation outside myself on how that process works. So they can go to PeterMaxwellSlattery.com. And there's, you know, there's blog news updates. I try, like, at the least.
And you talk about, like, documentaries coming out, things like that are all connected within this field, because you've got another one you've been in is about to go into a film festival too.
Yeah, so there's Don't Mention the Reptilians with, I think, Christopher Turner did that in another blog, and that's got David Icke.
And just had the trailer come out.
The trailer come out.
Your website for that one?
I don't know if the trailer's up on the website. It would be in the blog
area.
It's
on YouTube.
Yeah. But that's... You know, I think that was going to be that much of a huge movie. It's been split up into three parts. So it goes into the reptilian involvement, which, you know, the reptilians, I can personally say that they've stepped up their fight lately. And everyone's saying that they're kicked out of here, this and that. It's just not the way it is. They're diminishing and they're losing their ways. But, you know, we had a big battle almost a week, like a huge battle about a week ago. But there's that. There's also that you were there for this. We had a couple of film documentary makers come down and do a documentary with myself a few months ago before going to America, just
Sam
to myself.
And
Gavin. Yeah, and fantastic job. Really good quality, really good questions.
It's called Synchronicity?
I think it's called Synchronicities.
Yeah.
I can't say too much more on that because I think they're trying to evolve it into something that's not just me but others. But it's been put into, I think, 20 film festivals.
I think it was going to the Charleston Film Festival, off the top of my head.
Yeah.
It was one of them.
So
that was the main one.
Yeah. Mm. So there's lots going on with that, but it's not about that. It's good because it gets out, like, especially that documentary that they've just done recently on myself. that's something that nobody, if they know nothing about this, they could watch that. And that's what it's about, is just, you know...
It's a quick snippet.
Yeah. I'm not trying to change anyone's religious beliefs or this and that. It's just, you know, I think we all need, you know, to keep learning and have knowledge. And knowledge is power for ourselves to evolve.
And also being open to experiencing various different levels of things as well.
Yeah.
Because that's the way that you keep learning.
Yeah, definitely. So there is lots going on at the moment. Like the blog there is updated every few days, sometimes every day, and then, you know, at least I try to get one show up a month.
Yeah.
It depends. You know, sometimes I'll do four shows in a week. You know, it's just crazy how it happens.
And you do, so for clients, it's through the week? So it's sort of Monday till Friday?
Yeah, like we're going to be busy a lot with East City on the weekends, East City Australia.
Yeah.
We've got Sky Watches. So if you're in the Melbourne area, we're doing Sky Watches, and we're looking at doing others in Australia. Pardon me, just trying to, bit of a hiccups and stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, there's lots going on if you're Australia-based.
Also, we're heading back to the States around July next year, too.
Yeah,
July.
I think we'll be doing, from the word, we'll be going back to the Esetti Ranch to do a each of us will be doing a presentation there, and also a workshop, I think, as well. So
yeah.
That'll be around the 4th of July area next year.
And also possibly at the... Triad Theatre in the States too, which is about maybe 2-3 hours away from James's.
Yeah. So at the moment anyway, I just want to just bring up something you brought up the other day, which is, do you want to just tell people about what you're saying about the veils being thin between worlds at the moment? Because I want to see if others are noticing this themselves at the moment.
Yeah, sure. So the other day I had an experience of about 10 different instances.
I'll probably won't be able to say it better if I'm trying to correct you.
10 different examples in one day of deja vu happening. And it was almost as if I was able to stop and view it like it was on a screen. Mm-hmm. So it was like two different realities and I could see one overlapping the other. So I was able to sort of freeze frame it and look at both independently. Not only that, there was just... It was almost like seeing into, I guess you'd call it the matrix, or seeing into those two different realities. But you could also feel it, how it would feel, like, I guess, multi-dimensionally connected.
Mm-hmm.
There was a feeling of that kind of whole string, multi-universe feeling as well, going with it. So I put a post up on Facebook, and so many people from around the world were commenting that they've had similar things happen, you know, where it's like 2 or 3 times a day, or, you know, some, you know, 10 times a day as well. But yeah, others are noticing it. It's been happening for a few weeks now, but really intensified last week. I see that as a breakdown or a fragment of reality. I see it with those of us that are seeing it, and even others that are not. It's kind of that things are being decided. It's whether things are being decided, you know, where you want to... looking around?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, I sort of see it's like if you're noticing and have awareness on these sort of things... I feel like that it's good confirmation that we're heading in the right direction because we're realising that things are changing too.
Yeah. And I just want to say, like, from when I was in Vipassana, like, having a lot of time to work on...
Did this happen while you were there too?
Yeah, it was. Well, like, I was seeing lots of stuff, like, and you get me and Giles together and it just goes off the wispy stuff and the being just out of phase. But there was 3 times I probably... I don't even know if it was levitation. But I was meditating and energy would come through the crown, go throughout my whole body, and my legs were crossed because at that time I couldn't use a stool and I was in friggin' pain on and off because
I'm used to meditating.
Well,
you've had a motorbike accident too.
And once it exited what I feel was the feet going into the earth, I would have bounced up probably that much. But it was like an electric shock. And see, I had a similar thing with Haog and... Ezekiel at James's, and you see James gets this thing like he's being electrocuted, and you had it when I got Haog to touch you that time.
I didn't know who it was until you said afterwards.
But there was that, and I hadn't had it like that before. I've had times where I flipped off couches from energy coming in and that sort of thing, but what I felt, and even now, I feel that the energies get coming in more, and if people work with what they can't see but know is there on some level through intuition, and start, even if you don't believe it, start playing with, just for, if, you know, if it's not real, what harm can it do playing with it?
Also, you do your protection first.
Yeah, and this is what a lot of people need to know, is a lot of people in this field, or a lot of people starting out, I think even with the Ghost Hunters show, Taps, which is an awesome show, I get into it, I saw one episode, I think it was of theirs, where they don't go into, they went into what you don't see on the show, which is how they do protections and clearings and stuff before doing their shows, and so they're not followed when they go home. And I used to do a lot of ghost hunting, and I did the same. But see, the average Joe in public doesn't know this, and they go and see ghost hunters and go and buy me EMF meter and an audio recorder and think they're the bomb, and you know,
you got to be safe.
You know, I know people that got picked up by the throat and slammed through walls like that, and nothing's there, you know. Yeah. So this is where...
So it's real.
Yeah, and it's also with sky watching, you know. I was one of the people who used to go out of town by myself to secluded locations with no one around, and I'd be taken or see owls 4 or 5, you know.
Yeah.
You know, feet tall and weird stuff like that. So right now, you know, use your protection. There's many different methods of that. Like, you know, I say, I usually call in, like, those in line with the Awakening Healing Humanity, and the guides that come in, anything negative or, you know, or psychic bonds, please dissolve, and any attachments to those beings or anything, any psychic residue, please dissolve and let it know that it's forgiven and that it can go to its own perfect place in Christ consciousness or Buddha consciousness. Mm. Or call in whatever you want, because what you've got to realise is that all these beings are universal beings, and the church doesn't own these beings, or the temples don't own these beings. You've all got access to them. But right now, when you feel thoughts come on, and like real bad anxiety, notice body sensations and what's going on, and what thoughts are, and why this is coming, where like 5 seconds ago it was all good.
Are they your thoughts?
Yeah, are they your thoughts?
That's the other interesting thing.
Because that's what we've done, you know, with your clients, and I know with doing the guide sessions. Universal dialogue is thought. It's thought transfer. So if I could even talk to somebody in Asia or Africa, if we could thought transfer, we pass telepathy. Cultural boundaries of, you know, language, which limits us. We can go straight to totally understanding each other. That's how these beings work. In saying that, there's four parts to it. There's the body, computer, voice. There's those that aren't in line with you, there's those that are, and then there's your higher self. So this is where figuring out the intention behind it, how does it feel, what's the first thing that comes to mind. We look at the SRI studies and work of the Stanford Research Institute with remote viewing and other things that people are doing. I talk to psychics the world over, it's the first thing that comes to mind. And as soon as there's that split second break, it's bullshit. It's the body computer kicking into the left brain, and it's just going to come in with whatever you want it to come in with on some level. So,
yeah.
You know, this is where everyone can step up the ante with it. I'll get this. It's just the sun's burning my head. But it's, you know, don't press yourself or, you know, too much on these guys. You know, those that are wanting to get into this and do their part. Being aware is just your part. And enjoy the journey, the experience, because you'll be led to do what you've got to do and so forth with everything. But... You'll find out in time what it is you're meant to do. It's like everything you'll see, the synchronicities and everything happen to set you up to do whatever you got to do. So
yeah. Well,
yeah.
So what should people do if they want to get in contact with you?
Just go to my website, petermaxwellsattery.com.
Yeah.
Contact page.
Well, thank you for being on your own show today.
Yeah, well, thank you for interviewing me.
It's been a
you should have your own show.
To interview you. I might just do that one day. But
wrap it up now, bro. Anyway, yeah.
So I might do that one day.
Well, you
might
should
have my own show.
I reckon you're looking at doing something with the psychic connection and raw food and
yeah.
The ET contact side of things, which I don't think there's anything like that. And it's been
no.
A big part because a lot of people are following you about that.
That's a book that I'm working on, sort of in the ether at the moment, is the psychic connection and raw food.
And if the pool cover was off right now, I'd throw you in there because you're in a white top. But anyway, love you. Thank you so much.
Love you, honey.
For doing that. And thank you all for watching. And,
yeah.
And
thank you.
You,
everyone.
Awesome.
So
job.
Also, just a reminder, if there's anything that you would like Pete or I to discuss in the eSETI videos or any other videos that you would like us to make, give us your ideas. We love hearing feedback from you. So thank you, everybody, for watching. For more information on booking a session with Pete, please go to his website. You can also go to the eSETI Australia website too. So thank you.
Bye-bye.